This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. 7:18 a.m. Monday the 16th of November. And in about half an hour, we're speaking with Wan Ahmad Faizal, a Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports, on measures in Budget 2021 for young Malaysians. We're also asking you on a poll on the BFM Twitter account, what's the biggest issue preventing youths from getting jobs right now? Let us know what you think. Head on over to Twitter at BFM Radio. But right now, we're taking a look at our third quarter GDP numbers, which rebounded significantly from the quarter previous. So that contracted 2.7% compared to 17.1% earlier this in the year. The improved performance largely seems to reflect the impact of the reopening of the economy after the MCO, as well as better external demand conditions.
Yeah, overall for 2020, Bank Negara projects that GDP will contract by 3.5% to about 5.5%. However, it also forecasts clearer skies in 2021, with GDP growing between 6.5% to 7.5%. But with the CMCO being declared in most of the country until at least December, will this stall our path to recovery?
That is indeed the question. So for some reactions this morning, as well as analysis to the latest economic indicators, we're speaking with Julia Goh, Senior Economist at UOB Malaysia. Julia, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Now, third quarter GDP came largely in line with your expectations at negative 2.7%. What were the main drivers of the recovery for this quarter?
Good morning. So, third quarter GDP, there was a large lift from positive growth in the manufacturing sector. It grew over 3%. And I think what we've seen is that the production in food sectors, rubber, paper, plastics, pharmaceuticals, metals, electrical, electronics, and motor vehicles all showed positive expansions. It was largely driven by exports and also to some extent domestic demand, particularly the tax incentives that gave a boost to motor vehicle sales. We also saw that in the services sector, the demand for technology and communication services continued to show resilient growth. So those were the segments that recorded positive increases. Now, other key sectors like overall services, mining, construction, posted smaller contractions. So it was, although it contracted, it was lesser. So there was a smaller downward pressure on overall GDP. So I think overall it infers that broad segments of the economy had recovered in the third quarter, mainly because of the relaxation of the restrictions and the gradual reopening of the economy.
So manufacturing grew on the back of exports. That's one of the key drivers that you mentioned. What I understand that China was doing a lot of stockpiling and also meeting some pent-up demand. How, in your view, how sustainable is this growth going into the next quarter?
I think looking at China's growth recovery, I mean, they were first in and first out of this pandemic. And thus far, I think of all the countries, China has showed probably the most resilience of the recovery and the rebound. And we expect this will continue into next year, where we project China's economy could grow over 8%. So I think a lot of it will be driven by domestic demand. And they seem very confident on their path to recovery. And I think that will continue to help Malaysia, especially on the export front. And that is one of the key silver linings we see for Malaysia.
Now, Julia, the big question I think right now is how might the renewed CMCO measures in the country impact the GDP forecast for the remainder of the year? And does this change your own GDP forecast for 2020?
Yeah, so third quarter, I mean, we saw a good number. And unfortunately for fourth quarter, I think we think the path forward will be more uneven. The resurgence of infections, the renewed restrictions would soften the bounds in GDP and even possibly cause it to retrace, but not to the extent of what we saw in the second quarter. Mainly because under the current CMCO, economic activity is still allowed to continue and businesses remain open. But business and consumer sentiment has turned more cautious. We've seen like fewer people in malls, and I think businesses are also operating at lower capacity levels due to the SOPs. So I think to account for these renewed risks, we think real GDP would continue to contract in the fourth quarter. So we've parked our full-year GDP at a minus 5.5% contraction for 2020. And it's also in line with Bank Negara's expectations for the GDP to be low at the lower end of their forecast range.
But Julia, so you've revised upwards your GDP forecast, nevertheless, for 2021. Nevertheless, also still more cautious than the government's projections for GDP growth of between 6.5 to 7.5%. So, you know, do you see these headwinds continuing to affect the economy in the year ahead?
Yes, we do see downside risks at this point from the pandemic. And that could spill over into the first quarter of next year, depending on how soon we can flatten the curve. So our forecast of 6% for 2021 are below official projections, but largely because I think we did not factor in a wide availability of a vaccine to large parts of the public. And I think it's also a question of public's willingness to be vaccinated when the vaccine becomes available. So I think as long as majority of the population is not vaccinated and there isn't herd immunity, we could see many setbacks along the way. And so the unevenness of the recovery. And when we also continue to assume that there'll be some social distancing measures and SOPs in place next year, right? But I guess the good thing is that the overall public is more prepared at this, I mean, you know, in second round or in the third phase of the wave, we've seen you know, people adapting to the SOPs, and also the policy responses are in place to support the economy, the fiscal stimulus packages, the expansionary budget. As I said earlier, one silver lining we see is good recovery in exports, and mainly thanks to demand from China, but as well as US, EU, and ASEAN. And we think that this will continue and expected to pick up further in 2021. So while we may not see a vaccine so soon in Malaysia, the countries that do get the vaccine sooner, particularly the developed countries, I think we could see a faster recovery there, which helps their demand recover and which helps our exports.
How far do you think Budget 2021 goes in terms of cushioning the blow of this pandemic?
It's a large budget, huge expenditure plans, 20% of GDP. And it is comprehensive. They've covered the hard-hit groups, the B40s, the M40, tourism, retail, employing more people. And I think on the investment fronts, which is key to ensure a more resilient recovery, are also there in terms of investment incentives, development spending, restarting of high-impact projects. But I think, of course, the big question is execution. And let's say, how could it be affected by the mini setbacks along the way when there is another resurgence?
And Julia, just taking a look into 2021, are you penciling in any rate cuts from BNM?
Well, we aren't. We expect rates to remain unchanged for now through 2021, mainly because we've seen that the 125 basis point rate cuts done this year, I think, will continue to provide cushioning effects into next year in terms of helping debt servicing. The Bank Negara governor has also pointed out that the economy is on the road to recovery. So it sounds like they are sort of adopting a more neutral stance at this point. Even though the recovery is expected to be bumpy and uneven, but we think that the worst is behind us, which was in the second quarter. And in the current CMCO, the economy is still open. And the officials and Bank Negara expect that the economy will rebound and recover in 2021. So going forward, I think any further support to the recovery would be more targeted. And so I think it sounds like they're more inclined towards keeping rates unchanged for now.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Julia. That was Julia Goh, a senior economist at UOB Malaysia, not expecting any further rate cuts for 2021. So the OPR is likely to remain at PAT, I think 1.75% at this point in time. I guess not very surprising. She's not the only one that believes this, right? If we speak, because we've spoken with other analysts as well about the possibility of any further rate cuts. And because BNM has always historically been quite proactive in taking measures to cushion the economy rather than taking a solely reactive stance. So we were one of the first to cut, and it looks like we may now maintain.
I think the big question is, you know, how we're going to be able to contain the current COVID-19 situation. I think the big question is, will we have another wave? How will we respond then? And if there's another wave, and quite a major one, how much do we need to push up our debt level in order to even stimulate the economy further?
And speaking of big questions, Noel, one of the big questions that Julia had was about execution. And actually, coincidentally, tomorrow on The Breakfast Grill, we've got John Marican, Director of the National Budget Office from the Ministry of Finance, who will be in studio with us speaking to you, Noel, about this. And I'm sure this will be part of that conversation, execution of the budget.
You have to put me on the spot, right?
Yes, I certainly have put you on the spot there. But definitely interesting conversation. We had the former finance minister last week. We've got someone from MOF tomorrow.
Absolutely. So be sure to stay tuned for that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. But right now, we're about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin. And up next, we're speaking with Dr. Mario Hardy, Chief Executive Officer at the Pacific Asia Travel Association, or PATA, on the travel and tourism industry. So that's going to happen after the news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.